Welcome back to another edition of Pistons Thoughts. I am your host, Jordan Letterman, with our partner, Chris McClellan. What's up, Chris?
How you guys doing, man? Now we're back in the grind. We're back in the swing of things.
We're back in the grind. The trade deadline has passed. The Pistons did not make the big splash for a Mike Conley or a Drew Holiday or a Bradley Beal that we all hoped they would. Mm-hmm. But this front office, right off the bat, has done some really smart things, made some really good moves. But before we get into that, let's take a look at the playoff picture.
All right, let's do it.
Now, I know a lot of Pistons fans say that, what are you talking about? Why would they go for the playoffs right now when they can tank and get a good pick? My answer to that right now is the Pistons are a game and a half behind Charlotte and Miami for the 7th and 8th spots. They're an extra 2 games behind Brooklyn at number 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have one good week of basketball, and any of those teams have one bad week, you're right there. You're either ahead of them or tied with them, and you're in the playoffs, not getting swept by the Bucks in the first round, hopefully, right?
Right, of course.
So, also, if they start losing now, it's too late, because you're not going to get higher than maybe the 10 pick, which really isn't going to be much of a difference maker compared to 16 and the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So here's what they've done. The Pistons ended up half selling, half buying at the deadline, right?
Okay.
I wouldn't consider it selling, but at the same time, they didn't necessarily buy. So what they did is they got rid of Reggie Bullock, who I'm a big fan of,
mm-hmm.
and I would have been fine paying to keep him this offseason.
Rest in peace, Reggie Bullock.
But they ended up trading him, which I didn't like at first, but now it's starting to look better and better.
Mm-hmm.
They traded him for the young shooter, Svi Mykhailiuk, I believe is how you pronounce his name,
idea,
from the
honestly.
Lakers. Yeah, I don't know. I just was watching some highlight tapes, and that's what the commentator said. So if I'm wrong,
it's on Twitter.
It's on
I said, okay, something S. That's all I remember.
Can't say his last name. But he's supposed to be a really good prospect. I'm not that familiar with him yet, but he's supposed to be a really high upside, great shooter, and just needs some opportunity. I mean, he dropped 47 points in a G
Dang.
League game this season.
Okay.
And this is his first year in the league. So, I mean,
honestly,
low risk, high reward. Reggie was going to walk anyways, or you got to pay him 10 mil.
Right.
And they get a second round pick, which they don't have a second round pick after this year until 2023. Granted, the Lakers' second round pick next year is not going to be good, but mm-hmm. I guess it's another asset. It's another something. Then Pistons trade Stanley Johnson to the Bucks, who gets redirected to the Pelicans, and the Pistons get Thon Maker back.
Dude, I'm hyped about that shit. That when I read that, I was like, okay, now we're making some moves. These are the moves that I was hoping for the first trade, which
right.
was Fee. But it's okay. But
yeah.
That's when I read that, I was like, oh man, that's gonna be hype as fuck.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, so the thing about Stanley is everybody who listens to me or follows me knows that I'm very high on Stanley. But it just wasn't working here. And I've said it numerous times, for him to reach his potential, he needs to leave Detroit.
Mm.
And I think the Pistons finally came to that realization. He's going to be a restricted free agent at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So as with Bullock, it's better to go get something for him. You get Thon, who's, you know, has one extra year on his deal, high upside, raw talent still. You know, maybe there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than losing your guys for nothing or overpaying them
right.
to not really make much of a difference. So, in my opinion, the Pistons... Okay, hold on. Backtrack a second. Then today, it's announced, and I love this move, the Pistons are about to sign Wayne Ellington,
dude, that's
who's
gonna
just
be
released by Phoenix.
Hype, dude.
Yeah. Basically, what Ellington does is comes in and replaces pretty much exactly what Bullock gives you.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, Bullock, you know, has that chemistry with Blake that Ellington's going to have to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellington is a really good shooter. He's nice at moving without the ball, and he's a good defender.
Right.
So you're pretty much what the Pistons just did is they ended up replacing Bullock with someone who leaves them future flexibility. They got a couple assets back for him. And going forward, you have a bit more financial flexibility, and you really don't lose anything on the court. So
mm-hmm.
this is a very, very good move, in my opinion, to still push for the playoffs and gain assets and flexibility.
Yeah, I say if you have this much talent that you just acquired, why not push for the playoffs? If you're so close, why not just go ahead and, you know, doesn't Miami have, like, who are they playing in the next like week or so.
Well, Miami, I know I don't have their schedule up in front of me right now, but they do. Miami and Charlotte have relatively tough schedules for the rest of the year, for the last 25, 30 games. Pistons have a relatively easy schedule. Granted, the Pistons have more road games, but the teams that they're playing, the schedule favors Detroit to make the playoffs over at least one of those teams.
Right.
Now, everyone's like, why would you go to the playoffs? You're just going to get swept in the first round. I say, like I said in 2016 when we made the playoffs, if we played anyone but the Cavs then, we had a shot at getting out of the first round, at least winning a couple games.
Right.
I say that again this year with the Bucks. If the Pistons can avoid the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs, they have a shot at winning some games or getting out of the first round even. Probably not, but at the same time, injuries happen to the teams we're playing, or us, obviously. You know, injuries can happen at any point. You get in the playoffs and you never know what can happen. The Pistons match up pretty well with Toronto. If they get lucky and play Indiana or Boston, they match up pretty well with them too. I wouldn't really want to play Philly, but at the same time, Philly hasn't played the best in the playoffs yet. They're still young. They're still developing. So, you know, maybe there's a shot there. Just avoid Milwaukee. That's all I ask. So avoid the 8 seed, right? Because that's what it's going to come down to, because Milwaukee just got even better.
Right.
Picking up Mirotic. But so far, the Pistons have really done a good job. This new front office, Ed Stefanski, has come in and just, I mean, for all of the downsides of Stan's draft picks, who, by the way, just released Henry Ellenson today. Oh,
good.
To sign to sign Ellington. Get rid of Stanley. So Stan's draft picks aren't really panning out. You know, hopefully Luke does, and I still feel like he will. But this front office so far came in, got 2 second-round picks this past draft, got Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, who are already contributing. I think Kyrie should be getting more time. Maybe without Bullock, he will. But I think they've done a great job so far. And then these moves with the Pistons, this team, there was absolutely no hope for this team.
Dude, I was, after when we did the broadcast, that kind of made me like really kind of consider, like, man, maybe I should just kind of just like not, because like I felt like every game it was either really close or we were super close and then we just lost by like 15.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, I don't even want to. It just makes me not want to watch it much anymore.
Yeah, hey, that's why we got the support group, man.
Yeah, right. right. So, I mean, so now it kind of gives me a renewed hope of, okay, well, maybe we can make that push or maybe at least play well together. Even if we don't even make the playoffs, I want to play well together, at least for the next season where we can develop, you know, as a team versus like individual players just trying to do whatever they're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And the Pistons, and here's what people disagree with, and I disagree with them. But I think getting to the playoffs for the younger guys is huge. You got Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas. You got Svi Mykhailiuk, right? Mm-hmm. And you get to the playoffs and we have a superstar. We have Blake Griffin. You get to the playoffs, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. And I know if you play Milwaukee, chances are you're not going to get out of that first round. Milwaukee matches up really well against us.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to the playoffs, let these young guys have experience. Like, think about the Boston Celtics with Avery Bradley back in the day, right? How huge the playoff experience was for him. It jump-started his career, you know? He was on the team with KG and Pierce, I believe. I'm, like, 90% sure that my memory's right there.
You better double-check them, man.
No, hell no. I'll double-check anything. Never fact-check me, all right? Don't listen to me if you want facts. No, I'm just playing. But getting there for Kyrie, Bruce Brown, Svi, if he's playing, you know, I just think that's huge. Even Thon. I think that's huge. And again, you get to the playoffs and you just, and Blake, give Blake a playoff series and he will go insane. And he will go bananas for you. And you never know what he could do there.
I also think that if they do, much of what you're saying, but if they do make it to the playoffs, that I think that would kind of at least whip them into shape a little bit and be like, okay, you know what, guys? Right here now, let's really grind it. Let's really go ahead and try and go for it and just try to work well together in a system that works for all of us. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like now it's just kind of like no one, like I said, I feel like no one knows what they're kind of like supposed to do together, and it just kind of ends up crumbling at the end of it.
Sure.
But if they're in the playoffs, I feel like they're like, okay, now this is a new stage, so to speak, that we can, now we have to really show, like, okay, we deserve to be here, and let's deserve to win.
Yeah.
So,
and it will help players buy into KC. Not that they're not, but I feel like if there's any doubt going into next season, you run into a rocky road.
Right.
You know, especially the way this franchise has gone in the last decade. But you make the playoffs, you compete, at least, you know, maybe win a game or two. The Pistons haven't won a playoff game in 10 years.
That's really pitiful.
Just give me that, right?
That's really sad, dude.
So, if nothing else, you know, so I guess I'll move on to my next point, which is their flexibility moving forward. Starting in the summer, Reggie Jackson, John Lord, Langston Galloway, the three worst contracts the Pistons have, and don't say Blake because he deserves that money. And so does Dre, contrary to popular opinion. But they will become expiring deals. They're not expired this summer, but they become expiring deals, so they're up a year after this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And expiring contracts are super valuable, especially since the cap hasn't gone up as everyone thought it would. So you have a couple more assets now. You have a bunch of expiring deals this summer. Maybe you didn't get rid of your first round pick for this year. Maybe a draft night deal comes along with a Bradley Beal or a Drew Holiday once Anthony Davis is gone, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what comes up. And now the Pistons have this flexibility going forward, which they wouldn't have, even though I supported this deal, they wouldn't have it if they had gone and gotten Mike Conley.
Right.
So as much as I wanted that deal because I want instant gratification, Pistons did a very good job self-restraining themselves and not.
Well, dude, they're looking for the bigger. They're looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they didn't get worse right now.
Yeah. Honestly, it got better, I think.
I just think there's sort of renewed hope. Granted, you do lose a really good defender in Stanley. I'll give him that. As poor as he has been offensively, and he's been a decent playmaker, but he's been a phenomenal defender his whole career here. But Khyri Thomas is a really good defender too.
Right.
Wayne Ellington's a solid defender. You sort of, you know, and I, the only reason I supported a Bullock deal in the first place before it happened was if that means more minutes for Khyri Thomas. Granted, I still think we'll get that, but I didn't think of the alternative that we could get Wayne Ellington, who essentially just comes in and replaces him. You know,
I was really surprised by that, honestly.
That he picked Detroit.
That just kind of just worked out because I remember I told you this like before we started. I was reading Yahoo Sports and, you know, it was like saying like, oh, Pistons are aggressively trying to, you know, acquire, you know, Wayne Ellington. And I was like, right. Oh, okay, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Kind of just like, who else, like, who have it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like
going
like,
after everyone. So
yeah,
it's
like,
different.
Aggressively. Right. So I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But then when you actually texted me first, and that's when I found out. Then I like looked up like Yahoo Sports or something. I was like, oh, wow, that, I guess we were meaning some business. Like, that's another thing about the renewed hope. It's like, after hearing that, I'm like, okay, now we're actually trying to make the moves that we like feel benefits us.
Yeah.
Going into even postseason, if we
now
ever make it
the
postseason.
There,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think for the first time in a long time, I actually trust the front office.
Yeah.
Granted, I know Stan was here and his trades were phenomenal, but his free agency signing and drafts were just terrible.
It was weird.
So bad. But this front office, and it really wasn't until they got Ellington that I sort of am now all in on them. I tweeted it earlier and I said it earlier in the podcast. But they have made great second-round draft picks.
Mm.
They've made some really solid moves selling, but also staying competitive. And they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they were going to try and maximize Blake's window. But they were going to try and win now, but not screw up the future. And Ellington helps you stay relevant now in the playoff race. And again, you get flexibility with the young guys you just got back for Stanley and Reggie. You got another second round pick, and you have flexibility going forward. And you get more shooting. You get Sfi Mykhailiuk, who apparently, you know, people called him the next Klay Thompson. Not going to buy in on that, but
everyone's the next something, right?
Yeah, exactly. But everyone that I've seen is really high on him. He's a good shooter. And, you know, that's what the Pistons need.
Mm-hmm.
A good young shooter with potential. Why not?
Right.
So now Let's talk a little bigger. Let's talk about the crazy week that was trade deadline week. You know, this got crazy.
Bananas.
So it all started with, I believe this is what started it. Well, first of all, you have all the Anthony Davis rumors drama leading up to it. You got the Mike Conley and Marc Gasol rumors leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And I said this on the stream the other day, but I realized that we were not getting Mike Conley when the specific deal had been talked about for a week. Because a lot of times, and same with the Lakers trade, you know, a lot of times when publicly a specific deal is out there, it's not going to happen. You know, the deals that happen are the ones that sort of you don't hear about until an hour before they happen. Yeah. Or maybe that earlier that day sort of thing. A lot of times, Woj or Shams is going to tweet about that something is about to happen or might happen, and then like 6 seconds later, the other one tweets it happens.
Right.
You know? So it started with Kristaps, right?
That was crazy, dude. I honestly wouldn't have seen Kristaps leave New York.
Apparently, they have been talking to teams for a week or so, or not a week, but like for the better part of a month.
That's trying so to deal weird. Him.
But out of nowhere, Woj drops that Kristaps says he's concerned about the franchise's direction, maybe requests a trade.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not clear on the details. Apparently, there's a little behind-the-scenes drama going there. Classic Knicks. But you go, the Knicks, I don't know if they just made a brilliant move or one of the worst things they could have done. They get rid of Kristaps. They bring back Dennis Smith Jr., who I would have loved the Pistons to grab.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and a couple picks. So they have a lot of cap space coming this summer with all the rumors of Kyrie and with KD and, you know,
yeah,
who knows. But then the Mavs, I think this was brilliant for them. You get Kristaps to pair with Luka for potentially 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You get Tim Hardaway Jr., who's definitely overpaid, but is a solid volume scorer. And Courtney Lee and Trey Burke. So I just think this was possibly a win-win. Possibly the Knicks just made the worst mistake.
I guess we'll see. Yeah, I mean, again, I was so like bombarded with like in terms of just like,
yeah,
I was like, whoa, that's, I did not see that ever happening, really. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? That's like, that as was, if we kind of like gave up Dre, or you know, just
this
last
league is
minute
crazy.
You know what I mean?
This league is crazy. So then at like 36 hours before the deadline, Sixers go and shake the world and grab Tobias Harris, who obviously we all love.
Dude, I was kind of sad by that. I was like, dang, I wanted Tobias back.
Not only did we want him back, but now he's going to the Sixers, who I hate.
Yeah.
And the Sixers have just become really good. But yeah, Sixers go get Tobias. I mean, great move by the Clippers, who get a couple first round picks. One is like the most coveted first round pick
mm-hmm.
in the league that's out there, which is the 2021 Miami first rounder. And, you know, we got the Toby and Bobby show moving on together, which I love. I hope that wherever they go, it's together.
They're always together.
Because they're both going to be free agents after this year. So if somebody doesn't fucking sign Boban wherever Tobias goes, I don't think Tobias should go.
Right.
And then Marc Gasol heads to the Raptors, right? Big move there. I think Memphis made a lot of mistakes this trade deadline. They sort of got rid of all their young guys, didn't get rid of Conley, didn't get as much back as I thought they would. Whatever. The top of the East is getting really good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raptors go get Gasol, who I'm not sure makes a huge difference, but he makes a solid difference, mm-hmm. right? He's still a really talented player. Playoff experience, he's going to be big for them. And then, of course, the Sixers, as we just talked about. And then you move on to the Bucks, who just added Mirotić.
Yeah, that's deadly.
Who is adds spacing and shooting and another four for them. That's huge for the Bucks, I think. I think to continue to spread the floor around Giannis to already the best team in the East, possibly record-wise in the league. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Yep, they're the best record in the league. And you add Mirotić for really not much. They basically got rid of Thonmaker, Jason Smith, and four future second-round picks. It's a lot of picks, but I always say you can always buy into the second round. Fuck your second-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need him for trades. So that's big. And then, on the other hand, the Sixers give up on Fultz.
Oh, dude, about time.
You know, a lot of people thought that the Pistons could maybe go for him, but
I don't want him.
Nah. The Sixers got back a first-round pick for him, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would. And a second. And Jonathan Simmons, but I think he's nothing more than an expiring deal. Move on to Sacramento, who's been young and surprising, and then goes and adds Harrison Barnes, who, again, another player I think is completely overpaid. But he can go in there, maybe be that final push for the Kings to do something in the playoffs. They're young, they're exciting, and they're doing shit. Okay.
Dude, this one was kind of weird.
The
this
Wizards?
The
Wizards? Yeah. All right. Here's what I'll say about the Wizards. I think that they're making a mistake, not completely blowing it up, since John Wall is just announced to be out for another year. I feel so bad for John Wall.
Granted, yeah, same.
I know that, you know, not a lot of people love him in the league anymore, but I mean, to have the heel injury he had, get surgery, he's out for the rest of this year, and then he ruptured his Achilles in his house, and he's out for another full year, at least, right? I mean, that sucks. That's a bummer.
That, yeah.
And the Wizards are screwed, because he's making $40-plus million a year for the next however many years. They have no flexibility. So this was a big trade for them, getting rid of Otto Porter. Mm-hmm. But earlier in the week, the owner was like, yeah, we're not going to trade Otto or Beal or Wall. There are guys. Yeah, right?
Right.
But I think this move was good. I mean, I assumed that after the new John Wall news, they would have to do something. Because you can't, you know, it was already silly of them to not do anything. But then this new injury comes along and you gotta get rid of your guys. You gotta make space and rebuild. So I think Bobby Portis can be pretty good, except reported today he wants apparently $16 million plus a year.
He also wants 40 points a game. Remember that? Remember he was like, I'm going for 40.
Dude, he's a good – he's still – yeah, I remember.
That was so funny.
He's a good young player, but like $16 million a year, get out of here, bro.
Yeah, that's
– not a chance. So do they even get to keep him past this year? And if they do, they're overpaying again for a young player who's probably not going to live up to their contract.
Right.
You get Jabari Parker, who I think can be a really good player, but he's more of an expiring deal than anything else. Mm-hmm. They got to trade Beal, and that's why I think maybe come draft time, because they're not going to make the playoffs. If they do,
it will be a miracle.
I'm pretty sure they're a game or two behind the Pistons. 2.5 behind the Pistons, okay, who are a game and a half out of the playoffs. And the Wizards are not, like, they're not going to get better.
Right.
But even if they get better this year, you cannot trade Wall. Literally no one will take him ever again.
No.
And him and Beal have proven year after year that they do not work together as a backcourt. And, you know, individually, they're both super talented players. But now with John Wall and the ruptured Achilles, that's tough to come back from as a guard who relies on athleticism and quickness.
That's so sad, dude.
Yeah.
That's like... That his ego must be so crushed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for him. Again, it's same. Like, you know, I don't care how you feel about him as a player and him taking up all that money, but like that fucking sucks.
really ruins pretty much your life for at least 2 years, and then potentially more, depending if he can even recover from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, this is the injury that Boogie just came back from.
Yeah.
But Boogie doesn't rely on athleticism, and Boogie's a better shooter than John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on from the Wizards, but I have a weird feeling, and it's a hopeful feeling.
I know what you're going to say.
That Beal could become available come draft night, and we'll see.
We'll see.
The issue is I don't think the Pistons realistically have assets to get a deal done,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm the Pistons, I'm willing to get rid of 2 first-round picks, maybe even 3, because Bradley Beal is 25 years old, getting better, already an all-star shooting guard who can just change your team.
Right.
Whatever. We'll get there when we get there. So now you move on to the deal that happened right after a great win, and he had a great game against New York the other night, Reggie Bullock. I was pissed at this. The first report, we didn't get the second round pick, but even so, the first report was just Reggie for Svi, and I'd never heard of Svi.
Me neither. That's why I was like, who is this guy?
Right? I like to think that I followed the league pretty closely, but I guess I just missed the Lakers' second round pick who hasn't got playing time this year. You know, can't blame me. But then they get a 2021 pick that's going to be in the 50s, so that's not incredible value. But then you look at it like Bullock was going to walk for nothing. You might as well get Svi, who apparently the front office is high on. And again, as I mentioned earlier, I trust this front office, especially with second round picks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see how they handle the first round this summer. But like, in terms of second round picks, so far, 2 for 2 in my opinion. So you get Svi, who is also a second-round pick in this draft, And, you know, maybe it works out. Maybe he develops. Hopefully he gets some playing time. I'd love to see him play.
Right.
If he, as long as he's contributing to winning, which I feel like he would if he's knocking down some shots. And the second round pick. And again, we talked about it earlier. This move on its own isn't great to me. But then you throw in the Stanley deal, and then you sign Wayne Ellington, and this all, the bigger picture is starting to come together.
Yeah.
And I really like what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I hated this deal originally. The first night, I was pissed. I mean, everybody on Twitter knows that I was pissed at that. They're like, yo, calm down. It's
like
okay.
It's like the front office, like, hey, look, hey, calm down. Hey, look, right. Just wait a couple days.
Because all they had done up to this point was the 2 second-round draft picks, which were great, and they signed Zaza and Jose.
Yeah.
Zaza, really solid signing. Jose, can't wait to see him retire. So I wasn't ready to buy into the front office's plan. So I see this and I'm like, you're on one hand, you're saying we want to compete for the playoffs. On the other hand, you're like, let's throw our shot out this year.
Yeah.
But even so, without Ellington, the Pistons, I think we're still going to make the playoffs because of strength of schedule and just the Heat are starting to play a little worse now. You know, they sold a little bit at the deadline and it just, you know, it's all falling together now. So props to the Pistons front office. And then you have the Clippers making another move for Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green for Avery Bradley, who we love. So basically, the Clippers...
Do we, though?
...ended up... the Clippers ended up trading Blake Griffin for a couple first-round picks, and Jamichael Green is what it comes down to, you know, after Tobias, Avery, and Boban are gone now. But, so, I mean, the Clippers are also gearing up for a big run at maybe AD, maybe KD, this summer in free agency. Maybe Kyrie, who knows? But the trade deadline, granted, the actual last hour of the deadline wasn't crazy, but damn. The week, the whole few days leading up to it were the craziest I think it's ever been leading up to the deadline.
It felt like every single, like, maybe like hour or something like really big, and I was like, oh damn.
Honestly,
oh okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's like, obviously we all wanted the Pistons to do something big, but
that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh man, that was Pistons about to say something like, yo, we got, you know, we
no
Kristaps or something. And I was like, oh okay, let's go, you know,
that'd be hype. But no, I just I knew this was gonna happen, and once we got rid of Bullock, I was against the Conley deal. Before we got rid of him, I'm like, all right, if we're going all in, we're going all in.
Yeah.
You know, I would prefer Conley over a first-round pick for this year. But it turns out it's a good thing they didn't, because, again, they remain financially flexible going forward. And, you know, Conley realistically at best makes you a top-5 seed. You know, I don't know that you get much higher than that. And, you know, it doesn't really help all of our needs, and it sort of limits you flexibility-wise for solving those other needs, like shooting and, you know, just wing play. So it turns out it was a good move they didn't, I think. But, you know, I think that this summer could be big because, again, you got the expiring deals. You still have your first round picks coming up. You have a couple seconds that you can get rid of now. And you still, you know, for Bradley Beal, I'm willing to get rid of Kennard. Mm-hmm. As much as I love Kennard and I'm high on him. And I'm really glad, apparently the Grizzlies were asking for Kennard in a deal with Conley.
Okay.
And I'm really glad that they didn't do that. I would not have supported that.
Mm.
But yeah, so it's good. Okay. So then back to the point guard play, the last 5 games or so, it looks like Reggie Jackson remembered how to play basketball. I mean, for the last 2 years, he's been on and off with injuries. He's been on and off with consistent play. But, and I said this before, if Dwayne Casey runs some more pick and rolls for Reggie and Dre, Reggie and Blake, get Reggie in more of his comfort zone, and I really think he can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't know that I trust this to be sustained by him because the last 2 years have been bad, but go back to 2015-16, Reggie was our most valuable player. Dre had a great year, but without Reggie playing the great basketball he played, and he wasn't playing like superstar level basketball. He wasn't playing like out of his mind. He was averaging like 18 points, 7-8 assists. I don't have the exact numbers. Again, never fact check me. I don't care. but he was just playing solid basketball, and he's starting to get back to that for the first time since then, I think. And if he keeps that up, this team is for sure going to make the playoffs again. Even if he doesn't keep it up, I think they'll make the playoffs. But this team can be maybe something of noise-making in the playoffs. I don't know. I'm telling you, you play anyone but Milwaukee, I like our matchup. I like letting Blake loose in the playoffs, especially if Reggie is playing starting point guard caliber basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been playing really well lately. So, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, of course, I hope for the best. But, again, it always seems like you get a little hope.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, we're going to do some shit. Let's
That's
do
how
it.
This team's been for
and
a decade,
just,
bro.
Yeah. And then they just, like, yeah. somehow fuck it up. So, but we'll see. I mean, again, got to stay hopeful.
And, yeah. And healthy.
Right.
You know, Ish Smith needs to be healthy because I know I've said this before. I don't know if it was here on the streams, but I understand how important Ish Smith is to this team. He, you know, he runs the second unit, and without him, and I blame Casey for this, you got Jose running the unit instead of trying anything else. But
yeah, I wonder why. Like,
he's tried moments of Bruce Brown at point guard. I think he's tried moments of not Conley. I wish Kyrie. Fact check. We need a button for every time I say something wrong. We'll get that if we start doing this more. just a fact check buzzer. At least just to be like, I don't know that I believe
it. Yeah.
But no, so I mean, he's tried things in really short spurts, but like you got Kalen Lucas on a two-way deal. You got Isaiah Whitehead. Like you just, and this is where Casey has been bad. His adjustments, granted, the last week or so, he's been really making some good offensive adjustments, some solid rotation adjustments, but for the most part, it's just, like, taking him too long. It took way too long for these adjustments to come.
Yeah.
These should have come months ago, as should a Pistons smaller move. We'll see. You know, it's probably not too late at this point, but, yeah, so I blame Casey there, but Ish Smith, as important as he is, good teams don't let a backup point guard go down and let it completely derail their season. You know, his injury has had the effect, essentially, that Reggie's injuries have had the last 2 years.
Mm.
And that just can't happen for a team that wants to be a good team, you know?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. No, because I think didn't we talk about that in the last podcast, too?
Very possibly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I just, you know, so I get that he's important, but nonetheless, if he's healthy and he's playing well, and I'm actually kind of surprised, not really, but a little surprised that he didn't get moved at the deadline because he's an expiring deal. I'd love Ish Smith to come back because he's done a phenomenal job off our bench for the last 3 seasons, I think we've had him.
Right.
Maybe 2, but he's done a great job. So I would love to keep him, but he just needs to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pistons need to have a third option that is not Jose Calderon, just in case, because holy shit. I mean, so I guess Casey was coaching Jose in Toronto, right?
Okay.
So he has that
connection. So that's the reason.
Probably. But also, and Stan did this too with Jameer Nelson
last
year.
That's what I was just going to say. It's just like Jameer Nelson.
For whatever reason, these coaches who have been in the league a while, and I understand the concept of trusting a veteran point guard more so than not, but you got to understand, and it's not just that they're sort of like not what they used to be, because that's fine. That's why they're on a minimum deal with you as a veteran point guard. But you got to realize when they just, like, cannot play basketball anymore. I mean, Jose is not a good player anymore, and I loved him when he was in Toronto. I loved him in his half season in Detroit at the end of his prime. He played well last year, but nothing this year at any point has screamed to me or anybody that Jose will make an effective backup point guard for this year. Because Ish has been out, what? Ish has missed 30, 40 games at this point, I think closer to 30. But no part of those games has Jose played well at all.
No.
And I don't understand why Casey's so reluctant to be flexible there and try something else for more than, 3 minutes. Like, Kalen Lucas had a really solid stint at the end of the second quarter. I forget what game it was, but he played maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and he really played well. He hasn't played since. But Jose came back in the third quarter and really and fucked
screwed
everything
it all up.
Man, if there's a drinking game that we can make for Jose coming in the game, We got to do it.
Just take a shot every minute he's on the court.
That's about it. You're about to be fucked up.
Dude, you're going to be dead.
Like, but I remember, you know, when Steve Blake was here, who I would still take over Jose.
That's
every time he turns the ball over or takes a stupid shot.
Oh, my gosh.
Take a drink.
Or when Baines used to, like, you know, go for a rebound and then try to slip. Yeah, and it just
Butterfinger
slips
Baines,
yeah,
who I still, I miss Baines. But I am really excited about Thon Maker.
Yeah, me too.
And Zaza has been really, really solid this year. He sets really good screens. He's a great passer. And he's tough. And granted, I know if Zaza's not on your team, you absolutely hate him because he's a little dirty.
He's a little trashy player.
But with him on our team, he's played really well this year, and I'm happy about it.
Right.
And with Thon Maker coming up, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see the minutes that Thon and Svi get, especially with Ellington coming, more relating to Svi than Thon. But we'll see. I mean, Casey, early in the year, liked playing some two-guard lineups with Ish Smith and Reggie. Maybe he'll try to play some big lineups with Dre and Thon and, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's going to be so dope.
It'll be cool. I'm excited for the game against New York tonight. I don't know that Thon's active, but I know Svi is. And, you know, I doubt he'll play much, if at all, but hopefully he
we'll get a little taste of what he can do.
Yeah. You know, someone just tweeted me and asked if I think any of the young guys have all-star potential. And I think Luke does.
Okay.
I think that, and this is on Luke, no longer the coaching staff. The coaching staff, in my opinion, has given him opportunity to play and score and run the offense. He just needs to be aggressive. And I don't know how that happens. I mean, because he's shown flashes of really, really good basketball. He's super crafty. He's a good playmaker. He's a good shot taker. And he's a phenomenal shooter. And he just passes up too many shots. But I think that with the right mindset, and I don't know, you know, obviously you can't change someone's mindset, but hopefully with a little more experience, you know, you never know. Like, the playoffs for someone like Luke could be huge. You know, what if he has one playoff game where he just goes off, just, right?
Yeah.
And then he has the next season, he's like, holy shit, I just went off in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If I'm aggressive, that's crazy, right? And then,
who would have thought?
This is insane.
All I need to do is just try.
I just need to shoot? What? I'm a great shooter, and you're telling me all I had to do was shoot the ball and I'm going to be a great player? This is crazy. This
is never heard of. Oh, my goodness.
I think Luke has
Luke, if
all
you're listening, we love you, buddy. Like,
just fucking,
you know,
shoot.
Yeah.
You're incredible. Just shoot the damn ball. That's all. All right? Please, keep
shooting.
You got
shooting. This, man. You
Even
got
when
this.
You miss, just shoot. I promise the next one's going in.
Like, we believe in you.
Literally, all I've seen on Twitter is just shoot.
Yeah.
After he misses, everyone's like, nope, just keep shooting. Who cares?
You'll find it, man. You'll find that groove.
Right.
You'll
Honestly.
Find it.
So, like, something like the playoffs, and this is why I think it's so important, because something like the playoffs for Luke, or even Bruce Brown, who is, you know, I love Bruce Brown, but offensively he has not been great. But something like the playoffs for those young guys, including Thomas and Svi, you give them some minutes in the playoffs, and this team is built to play the young guys, right? Mm-hmm. Bruce Brown's a starter. Luke Kennard's a huge part of the rotation. So you get into the playoffs, you play those young guys, they're getting meaningful, super competitive minutes. If they flourish, they flourish. If they don't, they don't. They're young players. You can understand either way. Either way, they get that experience. They take that into the offseason, and they go hard as hell because they just tasted playoffs, right? I think that in Detroit, people underestimate the importance of players, especially young players, tasting the playoffs, right? Like, take a look at Phoenix. They haven't made the playoffs in years since Nash left, right? They're a super young team. They've been tanking for the last however many years. They haven't made the playoffs. No one on that team knows what it's like to win or to taste the playoffs, where it's like anything can happen and four good games get you to the next round, right?
Right.
They haven't tasted that. So for the foreseeable future, in my opinion, until they get a real game changer, and Devin Booker's great, DeAndre Ayton is great, but they haven't tasted any sort of winning. And I think that's really important for young players and for the culture of a franchise. which is why I totally disagree with everyone saying who cares about the playoffs this year. You know, and you didn't have to give up any assets to get to make the playoffs this year, okay? So I understand that argument. You're like, don't give up assets to make the playoffs this year. You didn't. You gained assets, and you can still make the playoffs this year.
Right.
And I think that's super important for so many reasons, especially when you're talking about the difference of a couple picks at the late end of the lottery. You know, I'm not talking about the difference of being like, okay, we have a shot at a top three pick. Take it, right? Pistons haven't had a top three pick since Darko, so that was
that was fun when that happened. Yeah,
but I just, you know, you're arguing the difference between the 15th pick and making the playoffs, maybe 16, 17, and the 10th to 12th pick, and I know that's a possible difference of 7, maybe 8 picks, but at that point in the lottery, it's a crapshoot, man. It's like you don't not go for the playoffs to have a chance at a mid-first rounder who, you know, and granted, I trust this front office to make the right pick in that situation or in any situation at this point, but you still, it's just way more worth it to me to go for the playoffs.
And dude, you go for that freaking glory, man. Like, that, like, just, yeah. Go, if you can do it, do it.
The,
like,
Pistons haven't won a playoff game in 10 years, and you think that out of nowhere fans are going to be coming back and support this team. You think that not making the playoffs, doing nothing this offseason is going to keep Blake Griffin happy, right?
No, not at all.
So
it's going to keep no one happy.
Exactly.
It's going to make you be stuck in the same situation you are year after year after year after year.
Give Drummond another taste of the playoffs, right? He came out after the playoffs and played phenomenally the year after. Dre, as much shit as he gets on Pistons Twitter and around the league, he is a great player, and he's super important to this team, and he's not the problem. The problem has been Reggie Jackson and Ish's injury and lack of wing scoring and shooting. But, you know, Reggie's, I guess, playing basketball again. We'll see if that lasts. But if that happens, then it's like, then you've already taken care of one of those issues. You know, Reggie didn't have a full offseason to work out. He didn't work out at all, actually. So he's been saying, and the whole coaching staff and training staff has been saying, this season is his summer training and preseason. And so now we might be starting to see him regaining his physical form that he once had. And he also, at the same time, again, remembered he knew how to play basketball.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. Now, yeah, I guess I can see that.
And coach is putting him in better spots for him. So that could solve one of those problems. I'm not ready to say that's solved because...
You never know.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if it keeps up. But it's been promising the last five games or so. I mean, he's been really consistent, and it's not sort of... I mean, granted, his shooting has been great, and that might not be sustainable. He's a solid shooter, but not as well as he's been shooting. But he's been getting past people. He's showing that he's a little quicker. He's making better decisions. And the pick-and-roll game is his game, and he's playing it right now really well. But again, you give Drummond a taste of the playoffs again. You get Blake a shot at winning a series, and I really think with the young guys, this would be huge, right? Again, avoid Milwaukee at all costs. Everyone else, even the Sixers.
That just means we got to win more games, you guys. So.
Everyone's like, fuck no, Tank! Get Zion!
Dude, I don't like Zion. The whole giving up aspect. I'm like, dude, just push, and if you really absolutely can't, then fine. Like, but when, if you're like the Wizards, then fine. You really can't do anything about it. But if you're this close, you know, you're this close, and you know, like, the schedule is for, you know, let's, what you said, Miami's ahead of us. It's
game
tough.
And a half. Miami and Charlotte, yeah. Same deal.
And, like, ours is easy. Go for that. Go for the glory, man. Go for, you know, don't, I, no. I think giving up and tanking is just a terrible,
terrible I think it's move. Silly. Especially at this point in the season, you can't lose enough to get a valuable pick. So just forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, because the Pistons have. The Pistons signing Wayne Ellington today says 100% we are not giving up this season. We're going for the playoffs. So I think you do it and see how it all comes together. And I'm really, you know, with a couple minor moves that the Pistons just made, I'm actually really more hopeful than I was going into the deadline.
Oh, dude, I'm more hopeful than I was at the start of the season.
Exactly. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But so far, Pistons are finally maybe steering a little bit more in the right direction than they have been. Because keep in mind, again, this front office really did not inherit this, or they inherited this roster. You know, they didn't make any move to get anyone here. And so far, I think they're pretty much perfect in their decision-making, minus Jose. But at the same time, Jose wasn't meant to play primary backup minutes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now the Pistons have a little more flexibility. I'm not sure how it'll look after Ellington signs tomorrow. But, you know, maybe they can grab another point guard on the market. But at the same time, I say give Isaiah Whitehead or Kalen Lucas another shot at it if Ish is still hurt. But we'll see.
We'll see.
That's all I got.
Yeah. That was that was 45 minutes. That was pretty good. Again, it seemed like it went by super fast.
Always does. Just talking Pistons. But this is we'll see. I mean, they got an easy game, hopefully, knock on wood, against the Knicks tonight. We'll see how that plays out, but they're trending in the right direction the last couple weeks. I think they're hovering around the 500 mark in the last maybe 12, 13, 14 games. So, you know, they're starting to sort of course correct. And again, all it takes is a good stretch of 4 or 5 games and a bad stretch of 4 or 5 games for someone in front of you, and you got yourself a whole nother picture. You know, teams went on win streaks early in the year, middle of the year, late in the year. Doesn't matter when it comes, as long as it comes. And the Pistons had a decent one earlier in the year. Collapse was pretty brutal, so they got to have one more.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Basically.
All right. Well, this has been another episode of Pistons Thoughts.
Yeah.
Hopefully, hope prevails. That's a great ending.
Yeah. That's a great ending.
Dumbest thing I could have said, but we'll see what happens next, man. All right, y'all. We'll see you next time.
All right.